Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Oh, yeah. We're working for a living, that's for damn sure.
Good old Huey.
Oh, yeah. Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Labor Day weekend to all of you.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be working this weekend. Is that what that means?
Well, maybe, maybe not. Kind of depends. So. But happy Saturday to everyone out there. Of course, in the room today, not a whole lot of people. Let's see. Let's do a count off.
One.
Two.
Where's those crickets?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
See, I'm smart. I don't do two sounds at the same time. You can't hear it. And the joke is not as effective. So, yep, it's just Steve and I in the room today. So, surprise. So, change to another podcast. Anyway. But, of course, just Steve and I. So, of course, we are your weekly dose. And, of course, we're streaming to you live here from Orange County every Saturday morning.
Thank you for joining us this week, and every week for that matter.
Yeah, no kidding.
As we pay homage to our favorite radio gods, Mark and Brian, and we still have the hopes of getting them in the Radio Hall of Fame this next year. So
next year, that's our big thing.
If you're new to our podcast, thank you for joining the family.
Yes, absolutely. I saw that we did get a couple more people in, and so thank you so much. And of course, big announcement too for all the. Stupid Replaceable listeners, Dan Novak, he and I have been talking briefly, but he announced that we're going to try to do a Christmas holiday party for all the listeners and everything.
Oh, cool.
So, and we are definitely going to be involved in that.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, so pretty exciting. Well, we actually have a cool show today for you guys, even though it's just Steve and I. We're going to have a Mark and Brian pass moment. In about 10:15, we got our buddy Paul Preston. From the movie guys talking to us about movies, of course.
Oh, that's good.
Yep, and unfortunately, we've got more bad news. The passing of Valerie Harper yesterday, we'll talk about that. We got South Carolina facts, and for Matchmaker Day, we'll be talking about blind dates, or if we ever been set up by a friend. And of course, for Beach Day, the best beaches to visit in the world. Plus, we have a special announcement later on. So
that's right.
Yeah, so we're pretty excited
and
about
we'll
that.
And we'll no longer just be two at that moment
or
for
three,
the rest of the show.
Or three. Yeah, so you'll have to tune in. Ha, 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 ha,
ha. Yeah.
So.
And, don't forget to interact with the show by commenting on our website, yourweeklydose.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1. Find us on Facebook or email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com. There went my voice.
And not only can you download the show for free from our website, but you can also subscribe to the show through iTunes, Podbean.com, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, and now we are on Spotify.
Ooh.
That's right. And all you got to do is search for Your Weekly Dose. Most importantly, don't forget to rate and review the show as well. It's very important. Of course, we were just listening to a little bit of Huey Lewis there, Working for a Living for Labor Day Weekend. What's your favorite Huey Lewis song? Do you have any? Or?
I like a lot of it. I owned like three of his albums. So, I really like Huey Lewis. A lot of his songs.
Have you
really
seen him live?
No.
No? Oh, you got to.
One I haven't.
It's a good. I got to see him at the Orange County Fair 1 year.
Oh, cool.
You know, when the shows were free.
That's as opposed to now.
Yeah, exactly. So, he puts on a really, really good show, though. I really enjoyed it.
He's very entertaining. I like his music.
I always like Huey. He's a cool guy. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, that's really cool.
You know what else is cool?
What is else cool?
What else
Sean.
Cool? You know what else is cool?
Well, I know a lot of things that are cool, but...
Amazon.
Oh, that's the coolest.
You like that segue, huh? You like that? See? Professional segue. Two and a half years. Yeah. Yep, that's right. Amazon, they've been with us for a long, long, long time. And without them, we could not do this show, basically. They have been with us since day one.
That's right, Sean.
Good God.
There's no better place to go shopping than Amazon. They have everything. So get what you want by shopping on Amazon. Just remember to use our banner.
Yep, all you have to do is go to our website, click on the banner, basically, and bookmark it. That's the most important thing. Every time you do and you want to shop on Amazon, use the bookmark link. And by doing so, you help the show stay on the air, which has been 2.5 years, and let's keep on going. That's all I can
say. That's right. We're having too much fun to stop this stuff.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, of course, shopping on Amazon means you avoid all the crowds. And since they have everything, it's always a fun time to go on and see what's new or see what other things they have.
Do all your shopping on Amazon. It's easy to do. I've done it. Steve does it. You know, and there's only one place to go to get to Amazon, and that's yourweeklydose.com. That way you use our Amazon banner to get the job done.
And I just did it.
Now?
Everybody does it.
Oh.
I just did it.
Ooh.
And I want to do it again.
Most people do, yeah. So remember, when you use the Amazon banner, you help support the show. Amazon, work hard, have fun, make history, of course.
Yeah, everybody watch History of the World Part 1.
Oh.
Just an amazing movie. Funny.
You know, it's really hard to choose a Mel Brooks film.
They're just all... I mean, you can't beat Did You Bullshit Today? No.
Yeah.
Did you bullshit last week? No. Are you going to bullshit this next week?
Yeah. See, it's just history. Well, yeah, you know, and then you got, I mean, you got the classics. You got Young Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got Blazing Saddles.
Oh, yeah.
Which you can never make that kind of a film in today's society. Oh. There's just no way.
No way you can
make that kind of a film.
And then you got Spaceballs.
You know, another classic, which is later on. You know, now we're getting into the 80s.
Phoenicia doesn't look Druish.
Druish, yeah. What's your name? Barf. Your full name? Bartholomew. Are you getting married? No. Then stand over there. Oh, yes, sir.
I'm a Mog.
Half man, half dog.
I'm my own best friend.
There are just so many good lines in that thing, man. Did you know, obviously, Joan Rivers played Dot Matrix, the voice of
Yes.
Dot Matrix. Do you know who the person was in the suit?
No, I don't.
Do you remember Shields and Yarnell?
Oh, yes.
It was her.
Wow. They were crazy when they were young and they were just coming up. They were in San Francisco and they used to go out.
That's a good place to be crazy.
On intersections in the street and actually do acts.
Uh-huh.
And it was. They were really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I remember they were all over the different variety shows, too, and everything.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like, okay, I kind of get some of the humor, what they're doing with, you know, the body movements and stuff and the mime stuff or whatever, you know. But it's like, I think as quickly as Shields and Yarnell came up as quick, they kind of went down, I think, as quick, too, as soon as, like, the whole variety of things was over in the 70s.
Rose up and burned out.
With the variety shows, because that was mm-hmm. their whole... thing was doing the whole variety shows, and once those went out in the late 70s, it's like, okay, we're done. So, well, you know,
we should ask Paul about this when
you know what we should ask Paul, because our favorite guy from the movie guys, Mr. Paul Preston, is with us on the air. Paul, how are you, bud?
Hello.
How you doing, man?
All is well.
All is well.
I'm not seeing enough movies, but other than that, all is well. I just haven't been out to see as many movies as I'd like. I've seen the ones I've liked a number of times, but I feel like there were a lot I missed this summer. Now I'm looking back in the summer, you know, it's like, oh man, I never saw, I don't know, maybe I didn't see the dumb ones.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, you're very selective on what you go see.
Well, it used to be like, if it's a summer movie, I'm there, because, you know, air conditioning, and it's a big-time spectacle, and you got to go, but I think my tastes have changed a little bit. I didn't see that Men in Black movie. I still haven't seen Lion King. I just feel like, what's the point, you know? Nothing new will be there, but, you know, I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood twice.
Oh, how is that? I heard that is really good.
Twice, so. What's that?
I heard Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is really good, though.
Oh, it is a masterpiece. Masterpiece. I had to see that twice, you know, to pick up the slack for not seeing Secret Life of Pets 2, I guess. So.
Oh, my God. You didn't see that? Oh.
I don't think Paul saw one.
Wow.
I did, actually. On a plane. Yeah. Yeah, I was in a hurry.
Oh, gotcha. So you asked us to do something a little bit different for you today, right?
Yeah, you know, normally I jump on here with you guys and we talk about the movies that are coming up, but we can still get to maybe a little bit of that after something else I want to chat about. I've started a new podcast over at Bleav.com. It's a new podcast network, BLEAV.com. Uh-huh. And it's a podcast called Bleav in Sports Movies. So every week I jump on there and we talk about sports movies. And I thought it might be fun to run around to different podcasts and collaborate on what people think of various sports movies and use that as a show. And so I thought I might make a fun segment on your show as well, because we're just on the verge of a new season of the NFL. And so I thought right before this opening there of the week where we have you know, the opening kickoff, mm-hmm. we talk about our favorite football movies of all time.
Oh, and there's so many to choose from.
There are, but I got to tell you, baseball would be easier for me. Like, I think I have a softer spot for baseball movies than football movies. But you looked at it, but when you search them, you're like, oh, yeah, that's, oh, yeah, and there's that, oh, and this one, oh, yeah, and this, that kind of happened.
Uh-huh.
And eventually in all of it, I picked one. So I understand you guys picked one too, correct?
Yeah, I picked mine. And you know what? It was so funny because I went through a list, and again, I forgot how many good football films there were. You know, I mean, because there are quite a few. You know, but I did narrow mine down, and I think Steve narrowed his down also, right?
Pretty much.
Okay. So, do you want Steve can reveal his first.
Okay.
Go for it, Steve.
Well, yeah, like
Wait
you
a minute,
say.
I'm going to make a prediction. Can I make a prediction? Is it Gus the football-kicking mule?
Oh, God. You are so close.
With Don Knotts.
But no. Okay. Well, you know, there's such good things and great movies like, you know, like Rudy and Heaven Can Wait, and just there's so many different things. There's We Are Marshall and
yeah.
But for some reason, the one football movie that affected me the most was Brian's Song.
Oh,
oh yeah. Come on now.
That's just amazing.
Well, I mean, you're not dead inside. So.
Well, thank goodness for that.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet. Although people are starting to question it.
Yeah. I've been questioning it for years.
Now, I always talk about people's favorite movies, either of all movies ever or in certain genres like this. So what is it that makes it so great? Is it the amount of time you've been with it? Is it just that it just had a strong impact that this has never...
Just
gone away, or
that I think it was the idea of how people can be such good friends even in the worst of conditions, and how people support each other, and no matter what's going on. It's kind of later on, I think I used a lot of the feelings from that movie when Gino passed away.
Oh, yeah.
As my best friend, how it's just. It was just an amazing example of how men in that kind of position who are tough and strong and can be so vulnerable and
pussies
alive with love for each other. So
they're pussies. That's what they are.
Sometimes a pussy isn't
bad. Someone picked necessary roughness.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it's true. I mean, because I mean, our buddy Gino, you know, that's how Steve and I met, was through Gino, and he was a football player himself, you know,
mm-hmm.
And just one of these big guys, and you know, the biggest heart in the world. And as he got older, he showed it more and more and more.
Yes,
you forget those moments day to day, you know, and now it's time you really circle back around and said. Those are important, you know, before it gets to the point where someone's in the hospital.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's Gale Sayers and then Brian, what was his, Brian's last name?
Piccolo.
Brian Piccolo, thank you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, that's a classic.
Yeah,
it is.
It's a good one. Definitely. 1971.
Good pick. I mean, I didn't even think of that one. But you also mentioned Heaven Can't Wait. For people who live here in Southern California, don't forget, It's the only time the Los Angeles Rams have ever won the Super Bowl. So if you want to watch that,
that's right. That's right.
There's another reason to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. Very true.
What else you guys got?
Well, for me, you know, it was a tough pick because I go, God, there are so many good ones out there. I mean, you've got the serious stuff like Rudy, you know, which came out in 93. You've got North Dallas 40, which came out in 1979, you know. And, of course, one of my favorites was The Longest Yard, with the original with Burt Reynolds in 1974. But two, I think, really stand out for me. So I'm going to cheat a little bit here, where one is based upon somewhat of a true story, I guess, that I really liked because it was an underdog story, and it was more or less one where it was local guy gone good and got his dream. And that is Invincible, which came out in 2006.
You know? When you started describing it, I knew that's where you were going. Local guy makes good. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, it was a football fan himself, you know, Vince Papale. You know, he gets to see his dreams come true and becomes a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, he was a 30-year-old guy who got in. I think he only did, like, what, one or two seasons, I think, or something, or... You know, and that was it. But he became the oldest rookie in the NFL history, who never played college football. But to see that happen, it's just a really good underdog story. So,
well, I forgot which came out first, that or Dennis Quaid in The Rookie. But that was another good film about the late in life guy who's like, yeah, I'm going to go for my sports dream and see what happens.
Yeah,
you know, and yeah. I think he was much even older. I think he might have been pushing 40 or even over that, which in baseball you can still get away with. Football, yeah, 30's like an old man.
Oh, exactly. Oh, 25's an old man even.
Yeah, if you can
throw
throw a 96 mile an hour fastball, it doesn't matter how old you are.
You can throw
exactly,
it. Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So if I was going to go drama, that's the one that would go because, like, again, it's just a great underdog story. If I was going to go for I want the laughs and everything, you know, then hands down, it's got to be Adam Sandler in The Waterboy.
Yes.
You know, and with him and his foosball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that just makes me laugh. I just love the whole thing, the whole innocence, and I think it's one of the best characters I think Sandler's done in a long time. You know,
and I like when a comedy is suddenly also a sports movie. You know, so you get to enjoy both genres at the same time.
Yeah, you know, and you got some, you know, you got a wonderful cast in there too. I mean, you got Henry Winkler in it. You know,
you guys gotta love the, for lack of a better word, the Winkler sauce, right? Like the fact that he's a big deal again between Arrested Development and Barry, and
has just come up through the ranks again, and is just amazing. And you know, to hear him talk and being so humble and empathetic about his career, you know, and seeing him do this big surge again is just wonderful. And I'm so glad he finally got an Emmy.
Yeah. Kathy Bates also in that movie.
Yeah, Kathy Bates is in it, you know, and she does a great job, you know, in the whole thing. And it's just a really good cast overall. And, you know, it did, you know, unfortunately it didn't, it did well at the box office, you know, I mean, it at least paid for itself. But, you know, it's just a funny movie. You got Jerry Reed in it, too. You know, and it's just really good. It's just a really good, funny film.
Yeah, I'm not surprised Sandler took to Netflix. You know, he can, if he has a crap movie, nobody knows. You know, if he has a hit, but if he has a hit, nobody knows. But yeah. It doesn't matter. The paycheck is there. You know, like, it's a huge paycheck, and he could just kind of fly under the radar. But I do kind of miss the, you know, the Adam Sandler event movie. I mean, every summer you'd get a big Adam Sandler movie, and the occasional Christmas, you know, but
right
now they just kind of appear in Netflix and you go, oh, wait, what is this?
Right.
Instead of there being hype, you know, yeah. Like Waterboy was all hyped up and everyone would see it.
Yeah.
You know, he had that run of just every movie put out made $100 million, which is great for a low budget comedy. So I kind of missed that, but. So, I mean, I think I've seen maybe one of his Netflix movies.
Uh-huh.
I haven't gotten to him. It's a shame. But good. If you're going to cheat like you did, you picked two different genres. So, good call.
Yeah. And what about you, my friend? What did you pick?
Me, your friend?
Yes.
Well, certainly there's tons out there. I also like Heaven Can't Wait. And, you know, a movie like Remember the Titans is good. Or there's plenty. You could even call The Last Boy Scout, you know, a sports movie.
Yeah,
but
true.
I picked one that's not really a sports movie again until it is. And then, but it kind of is a hybrid romantic comedy and football movie. And that's Jerry Maguire.
Oh.
Simply because when I look at all the movies that are football or have football in them,
yeah,
this I think is just the best as a movie goes. You know, like it's just top to bottom an outstanding film, from the script to the leads to the direction. You know, it was nominated for a ton of Oscars, and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. It was Tom Cruise's best shot as an Oscar, at an Oscar. He played, you know, Jerry with more maturity than I think he had. He had come off the 80s and early 90s where everything he did, he was the best. Best fighter pilot, best pool player, best car driver, best you know, cocktail guy. Everything he did, he was the best.
Yeah.
But somehow he also would counter every one of those movies with a real awards contender. So you get Cocktail, but then later in the year you get Rain Man. You get Top Gun, but later in the year you get The Color of Money. You get, you know, so it was like Jerry Maguire kind of finally blended those two things together, where you have a big time movie that everybody can love and go and see and have it be a hit, and an awards contender.
Yeah.
And again, for such a mature performance, I thought that was his best shot at an Oscar. He didn't win. I mean, maybe Magnolia, but I think, for all the levels and the vulnerability he had to show as Jerry, I thought that was his best shot. So we'll see if he comes around and maybe gets another shot. But for anyone who doesn't know, he plays a sports agent who basically wants to make his job less cynical, you know, where everything he sees is like a potential shoe endorsement, you know, and he's just like a callous guy. And for all of his thoughts in that, he gets fired. And on his way out, he gets one of his clients to stay with him. Rod Tidwell, played by
Dorothy Boyd.
What's that?
Dorothy Boyd, single mother.
Yeah.
Right, and of course the accountant in the office who believes in him, and that's Renee Zellweger.
Yeah.
One of those performances where you're just like Rachel McAdams in The Notebook, like, who is this, and why is she so incredibly attractive and adorable and all these great things and smart? This is like crazy.
And so, of course, Jerry Maguire was the movie that left the entire country saying, "Show me the money."
Quotes for days. And I bet you there are people who are young, who, you know, were born when this movie came out, saying, "Show me the money," or "You complete me," or
you had me at
hello.
And they probably don't even know where it came from. They hear Deadpool say it or something, and they're like, "Yeah, that's funny." You know?
I heard a variation of that just like 2 days ago. Somebody said something, "You had me at," and it was something else, but it was, you know, referring back to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So go back to the source, kids. Great movie. This guy that, you know, is making the Mission Impossible movies, he was really good in this film. And Cuba Gooding Jr., I mean, he won the Oscar. And you could see when he won that Oscar and the energy was all over the place, you could see that energy in his performance. Rod Tidwell was hilarious. And if you're not jumping out of your seat and going nuts when he makes that big catch and does the celebration dance, I mean, that's just a great moment in the movie.
And what's amazing, too, is that sometimes you'll see quotes from Jerry Maguire in other films, because Heath Ledger, even when he played the Joker, quotes Jerry Maguire to Batman.
Really?
Yeah, he goes, "You complete me." It's like, how can you? The Joker, freaking Batman movie, is quoting Jerry Maguire. You're going, holy cow, you know. But I mean, Cameron Crowe did such a great job in the screenplay and directing it and everything. It's just a very good, well-rounded movie, you know. And like you were saying, Cruise was starting to pick different roles, and it wasn't about being, you know, the good-looking guy anymore who can get the girls and this and that. It's like, okay, hot shot, gets shot down, it has to start all over again, and now he's struggling, you know.
Yeah, so vulnerable.
Yeah,
and that was there, you know, something like Born on the 4th of July. Certainly, he would
love him in that one.
Yeah, he was kind of emotionally all over the place there, but there was something, I don't know, just unique about his performance to Jerry Maguire. And then again, it ends up being he's a sports agent, so the football and the sports angle is all there. So you get all the sports fun stuff too, plus romantic comedy. He had everything. I loved it.
Yeah,
Everything yeah. except, you know, action sequences. But pretty yeah. much at everything else.
Yeah, no, good choice, brother. That's a, no, that's, it's a good film. That is a really, really good film. Absolutely.
Yeah, and another great supporting performance is Jay Moore, Regina King. It's, you know, go see it if you haven't. Watch it again if you haven't. Kelly Preston. Here.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
not related. But put the note out there. Not related. So if anything goes down, it's not weird.
Yeah. You know, it was funny.
Put it out there, Kelly.
You know, it's funny. When you sent me the message the other day of what you wanted to do, I'm like, okay, that's cool, you know. And so I went to ranker.com to see what people in general were saying, what their favorite, what the best football film is, you know, of all time. And I don't think you're going to guess what number one was.
Well, let me see. Is it The Blind Side?
No.
Because that was super
that's,
popular.
That's like the wrong direction parts. Right there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it Necessary Roughness? Did I already mention that?
No.
Let me give me one more. Is it?
you won't think of it.
I'm going the wrong direction. All right. Yeah. Surprise.
Believe it or not, it outbeat other cool films like Jerry Maguire, Heaven Can Wait, Friday Night Lights.
Great movie. That was probably my top two or three choices. Yeah. Friday Night Lights, so good.
Facing the Giants, it outbeat that one. It outbeat Brian's Song. Any Given Sunday, it outbeat. All the Right Moves, which also starred Tom Cruise.
More Tom Cruise, yeah.
Excuse me. And but this movie came out in 1998. It was shot in Vancouver, British Columbia. And it was the last of these type of films, but believe it or not, it is
Wait, is it that Vanderbilt movie?
No.
Varsity Blues?
It stars Warren Moon, Kevin Zegers, and Tim Conway.
Woof.
Air Bud Golden Receiver.
No way was that number one.
I kid you not, dude. If you go on ranker.com right now, that is the number one. Football film for people to go see because everybody loves a doggy.
Wow. No. I mean, as far as kids movies go, Air Bud, the first one.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty good. It's fun and silly. The bad guy's a clown and the dog's fun and cute.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's easier to deal with a dog than a donkey, so.
Then they got into World Pup, right? The Air Bud World Pup. I'm not kidding. That was a movie. And then Air Bud Seventh Inning Fetch. I think was another one. Then it got weird.
Yeah. But Air Bud Golden Receiver is the number one Ranker football film.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Who knew Ranker was the popular website among the 7-year-olds?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've gone there.
So, very cool. Well, what is the new podcast again, Paul?
Believe in Sports Movies. It's BLEAV. Say it fast. Sounds like Believe, you know. And it's a growing network. They got a bunch of stuff on there. And it started out as all just sports podcasts. And so I said, well, I talk about movies, so can I do a sports movies podcast? They said, sure. So we're, a dozen or so episodes into it over there. And it's kind of whatever I want to do. So you pop into a show and you'll hear something different nearly every time. Sometimes it's round table with me and my friends talk about a movie. Sometimes it's like this where I go on a podcast and shake things up. And so it's always different, always weird, but always cool. Sports movies. So
is the next sports movie going to be like badminton or volleyball?
Oh, well, sometimes it's just a movie. Like we talked about Heaven Can't Wait a couple weeks ago where we just
nice.
Like 45 minutes just on Heaven Can't Wait. And there's plenty to talk about, you know. Yeah. We actually did, we even stretched one further, and we did an episode on The Naked Gun.
Because baseball. It's baseball, yeah.
And even though it's only the last third of that movie, they cover every joke you could possibly make about baseball.
Yeah.
Like, you can't put out a spoof about baseball now. Like a spoof like that. I mean, Major League is funny, but it's not a full-on airplane-type spoof, because The Naked Gun covered it. Done. So.
Yeah, and yeah, my favorite part is when Leslie Nielsen does play the umpire, though. That is just so good.
I mean, too funny with the strike calling and the strike.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's just.
And I just love because the guys, like, he catches the ball, and they both look at him just like,
You gonna call it or what? You know?
Strike? And the crowd goes nuts. He's like, oh, I'm calling strikes all the time.
Yeah. Oh, cool deal. Cool deal. Well, Paul, always good to talk to you, buddy. And, of course, you can catch Paul on The Movie Guys as well.
Yes, all over social media or themovieguys.net.
Yeah. It's a great, great podcast over there, too. He gets to interview directors and actors and screenwriters and very well-known people. And then, of course,
a new catchphrase someone came up with the other day.
Oh.
The Movie Guys. Movies are our middle name. I like that.
Oh, that's original, dude. I like that one.
Yeah.
Movies are our middle name.
Or movie.
Our first name is The.
Yeah.
But you could call me Mr. Guys.
Yeah, exactly. Respect.
All right, brother. Well, you take care of yourself and best to your wife, Karen, as well, my friend.
Bye-bye.
All
right.
Bye.
Oh, there you go. Mr. Paul Preston from themovieguys.net.
I was going to ask you, do you remember Varsity Blues? It was a Disney movie.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember they had to pull it back and take out a scene after they released it the first time?
What scene was it?
Remember when all the players went out to the country road and laid on the center divider? I don't know. Not everybody saw it because they had to pull it and take that scene out, but a bunch of the team members went out, and it was just a country road, and there was kind of a hill, and they just laid in the middle of the road on the center divider in a long line just to do something scary. And what happened, I guess people started doing that. Cars are coming in.
So basically, people over there in the south, are, hey, that's a pretty good idea.
That's
let's try that out.
Exactly.
Oh, shit, that's something new. I never thought about that one.
Yep. So Disney had to remove it from the film.
Wow. No, didn't know. Well, of course, you know, as everybody knows here on our show, that we do love to pay homage to Mark and Brian, of course. And now we are turning our past moments with them into a particular segment because we're waiting to get them into the Radio Hall of Fame next year. So this one that we decided to choose for you guys today is actually a pretty funny one because this is where Mark and Brian, they were running a contest and they were calling basically random phone booths when phone booths existed.
Yes.
Back then.
I remember them.
I remember them too. When you had to search for change in your pocket.
I remember when it was a nickel to make a call.
And long distance was 25 cents.
Yeah. You had to talk to the operator, though.
Yeah, and get her permission, her blessing and everything. So basically, they were trying to give away, I think it was like $1,000. Mm-hmm. Brian kept wanting to ump the ante. Oh, well, let's do $50,000. Let's do $100,000. And they're like going, dude, what are you doing? We can't, you know, we're legally held to this if we do that kind of a thing, you know, because we're on the air. So they decide to play a prank on Brian so that he wouldn't do it anymore. So here we go, where Mark and Brian play the most music.
Let's just quickly make another payphone call. As you'll remember, last week we were celebrating the patent of the coin payphone. Plus, we've been trying to give away $1,000 to the person who answers the phone, the payphone, with Mark and Brian play the most music.
Chuck got his bad the other day. I was being a dork as usual, and I was saying, okay, $25,000 to the person that answers the phone in the next three ring. And of course, Chuck calls in from his newsroom.
Hello? Mark and Brian play the most music?
Scared the living hell.
Well, I think on that one,
I had to resist sometimes.
I think on that one, it was up to $250,000 if they answered on, like, that ring.
All right. Let's make this one payphone call, then we're going to get ready for it. Sounding good, too, bud.
Hey, nothing. Oh, we should do it now.
Do it right now.
Do
this now?
Or do the saxophone. I just got it out.
Right. You know where you want to go?
Yeah. So,
all right.
You know why?
Yeah.
Because this pay telephone thing bores me.
But you know, the drama of someone answering the phone with Mark and Brian Play the Most Music is a buzz. It happens. Tell you what. Let's do it. Five rings.
Just five.
Five rings.
Right.
At,
I'll try not to be bored with five rings.
Well, what would it take to make you, I mean, let's put drama in it.
What puts drama in is offering $250,000.
I know, yeah. All right. $100,000. Now look, you know, that's drama for me.
Either we're, all right, what's drama? Big money.
Say it.
Big money.
Say it.
I'll say $50,000.
Let's say 50,000. Let's not win. Let's put it.
Half a million.
Only five. Five rings. Five rings. $500,000. Now that's cool. Now that's drama. I won't be bored now. I won't be bored now. $500,000. Half a mil. Should we make it more difficult, what they're going to say?
Well, I mean, the chances of someone answering a payphone at random with Mark and Brian Play the Most Music.
Yeah.
You only get five rings. We will call a payphone at random. And
all right, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven payphones. What if someone is like a technical wizard, you know, like a phone guy?
You can't tamper.
Well, but how would we know?
We'll check it out. We're going to pay that kind of money.
How would we check it out?
Here you go. All right. Five rings. You got a number? One of those numbers?
Mm-hmm. This.
I'm about to get the last one.
Five rings.
$500,000.
$500,000.
Mark and Brian play the most music. Mark and Brian play the most music.
One.
Mark and Brian play the most music! Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Mark and Brian play the most music!
Where is this payphone, sir?
What's the way, man? This! Did I get it? Is this it?
I'll put my saxophone away.
Did I get it? Did I win? Oh my god, is this you guys?
Thank you for listening to the program over the years. Do you live in... Do you live in Venice?
Oh,
well, you see, sir, the thing of it is... Well, thank you for listening... Wait a minute.
You guys kidding me, man. Wait a minute.
I gotta go check something out. No, hey... Go look. Go see whatever you want to see. Brian thinks that there's... What part of Venice do you live in?
Oh, man.
Oh, we don't care. We've just lost our jobs. We could care less where you live or what you do for a living or anything else. We wish we didn't listen to the show.
Oh, man.
We're going to listen to the number away.
Would you mind if we paid you, like, monthly? Because this is going to come out of our pocket.
Bill is going to fire us.
Yeah, we're done. This is it.
Oh man, can I get some beach tar remover too?
Would you be happy with just the beach tar remover?
I have $1 million worth. That's too much, man.
Why are we laughing?
Oh man, you guys are the best, man.
Well, thank you. Do you really believe that? Because you know, if you did.
Oh, man, I just can't believe it.
I can't either.
No, we're all kind of speechless, you know?
Yeah. Look at Arlo, he's burying his head in his hand.
Arlo just wants Bill to know he didn't condone this and he's not responsible.
Well, Brian, say good morning.
You guys are like pulling my chain here, are you, man?
No.
$500,000.
Brian, say good morning to the production director, Mark.
You asshole. You ass.
I fell right into your little bitty hand.
Yes,
Mark.
Mike!
Oh, God. Now, you see, we even went to the trouble of adding the phone number to the already paid phone.
Oh, you
ain't! And Arlo, did you take it hook, line, and sinker?
We all did.
Yeah, oh, sure. Chuck didn't know, or Arlo?
What I thought was, I looked through them, I saw somebody talking in the other studio across the hallway, and I thought, okay, cool, one of the switchboarders.
Yeah.
And then I walked in there, and nobody was talking on the phone.
And that was a very long walk back into the studio. Yeah. Because all this stuff comes to your head, like, okay, we're fired. And there's not a station in the country that hire us after what we did.
Great publicity and all.
We are done.
Yeah, I even thought of that. Well, maybe it's good publicity.
Nope, even that's done.
Well, it's under the heading of going down in a blaze of glory.
500 grand.
Oh,
half a mil.
Let me just say first, thank you.
Good job, Mark.
Thanks, man.
Way to go.
I don't think I have a voice left.
because you know, we would have said, how about $1,000, but that would make us sound totally wimpish, and we didn't want to do that. We offered, and something, though, now that I think back on it, every time I say, like, you know, $5,000, $10,000, $100,000, you're like, yeah. And so I fell right in it when I said, let's not do this because I get bored. And you said, well, what would make you not bored? Okay, we were just trying to find a way to get into the call without forcing it and trying to get you to be the one to commit to a big figure.
These are...
Absolutely.
Got him hooked on a figure.
Got me bad.
I think he knows you, Brian.
Oh, you're going to pay for that one, boy. In my hand, I hold the list of paid telephone numbers, including... Mark Avery's production. And in the right hand, a Bic lighter. I am going to hear. Listen. Okay. I'm lighting it. We're burning it. We're never doing this again. Ever.
Aren't you that bad, huh?
Oh, and there you go. Classic Mark and Brian, where Brian needed to learn a little bit of a lesson here about giving away some money.
Yeah, really. And the well is not bottomless.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you still need to have a job, brother. So, yeah, it's a good one. Good prank to play on Brian. So, oh, boy. Well, you know what? Let's catch up with each other.
Oh, boy.
As if there's a lot to catch up with.
I know.
Well, you know, first off, I do want to thank Randy Pelican and
Courtney
over with AWOW last week.
That was so much fun.
Oh, my God. Beautiful day on the beach.
I didn't want to go home.
I know.
God, and he even gave us food.
Yes, which was so nice.
It was so good. So fun. And then,
and I mean, Zach had to leave, so he took our tarp, our canopy away.
I know.
It was still nice. Still you nice. Know? Yeah. It was very cool. But no, thank you so much. And a big, big thank you, because when I posted up the pictures that where we were at and everything,
right,
the first person to love it and to share it was our dear friend, Jeff Swampy Marsh. That's so, right. Swampy, I know you're probably still in Scotland right now with your son Django.
Eating the haggis.
Oh, yeah, because he's going to school there now.
Right. He's going to wear a kilt, is he?
He is, and Django's going to be learning how to drink just like his father.
Yeah.
Not that they drink that much, as we've drank with both of them. So, so he's still there. But he missed it out because Swampy was on D23, the convention with... Disney.
It was a Disney panel.
And they announced the new Phineas and Ferb movie coming out.
Woo-hoo!
I think it's like Candace Conquers or Takes on the Universe or something like that.
Love Candace.
So it's your movie, dude.
I know.
It is a movie for you.
Yep.
You're going to be in your room with lube and whacking off.
That's it.
With Candace.
I'm going to have to thank Swampy and Dan for the beautiful movie, which I know is going to be beautiful.
And from what I remember, Dan, we were talking, and I think Dan's going to be directing it. So
yes, that was a condition.
Yeah.
Why it kind of took a little longer to come up with the announcement.
But it's going to be kind of cool, you know. And but Milo Murphy is still, I think, in limbo kind of thing. I hope they bring that back and do a season 3, but they're going to do a new Phineas and Ferb is just so damn popular. They can't let it go.
It was my favorite animated show.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm glad Roman got to watch it, you know, because it is funny. And, I mean, it's kind of like their attitude was the Warner Brothers, you know, cartoons. You know, Warner Brothers cartoons the jokes were there at one level for the adults and another level for the kids, you know. Yeah, and same thing with Phineas and Ferb.
Yes, very creatively done. I loved it.
Yeah.
And it had a catchy show or opening song.
Oh yeah,
there's 104 days.
So, but thank you, Swami, for doing that, bud. And
into Randy Pelican and was it Courtney? Yes,
Courtney.
Courtney, which I didn't realize, you know, because we just met her and we heard, oh, she's a very famous surfer from grew up in Santa Ana. Holy shit.
That was a bit of an understatement.
Dude, it was so humble. You know, she got, I think it was last year or the year before, she got into the Surfing Hall of Fame and everything. Mm-hmm. You know.
She's pretty amazing.
Oh, and so nice. We got to get her back on and go,
yeah.
Why did you not tell us all this other stuff? You know.
She's very humble.
But, yeah, and then, because I did more research on her when we came back, mm-hmm. and she even did some nude shots of her because she does have a lovely figure. But it was done very classy because it was for Sports Illustrated. But she was one of the ones where everybody, it was like a baseball player, football player, volleyball or whatever. You know, these very famous people doing nude shots. But of course,
kind of like Burt Reynolds did.
Yeah, very tasteful though, without the staple in the middle. You know, but and hers were very done very, very well, very pretty and everything. And but no, I mean her accomplishments too. You know, it was
like right now she's like number 3 in the qualification for the Olympics. So that's she still has some events to move up and take the top 2. So hopefully,
we're cheering for her.
Next few events, she
we're cheering for her.
Is able to pull up one position.
Yeah. So you know, thank you again for everybody at AWOW. We had an absolute blast being there. We can't wait to do it again. You know, basically. Oh, yeah. So. And that was pretty much my week. I really didn't do a whole lot else, you know. Oh, except last night, though. Last night we had a good time. My son, now in high school. And so.
How's that?
You know what? It's great because we went to our first football game.
Did you really?
Yeah. We got our asses handed to us.
Hey, but still.
We went to the first football game.
That's kind of a rite of passage for high school.
We got there a little bit late, and we got there like towards the end of the second quarter, and it was already 6-7. So the other team had scored, you know, the touchdown and made the field goal. We didn't make the field goal, I guess. And so we're like, okay, it's cool, you know, whatever. And so it kept going back and forth. It was a good game. And twice we had to punt on the fourth down.
Ugh.
Both times, the punt got blocked.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's kind of sad.
And picked up by the other team.
And?
Touchdown!
Yeah. Oh, that's
not good.
Not good
at all. Yeah. So the first time the kicker dropped the ball and then picked it up, and as he's kicking it right into the chest of the opponent, which I'm going, oh, I hope he felt that, you know. And then
just get something out of it.
Yeah, you know, take the air out of him, and he did. Because the little mother picked up the ball and ran.
Oh man.
And then also, I forgot how many other plays, but the same thing happened. Not that he dropped the ball, but there was no blocking, and they got through and blocked the punt, and same thing. And it sucked because there was a shitload of us there from Los Alamitos.
Who were you playing?
Somebody from Murrieta. And
Murrieta High School?
I don't know. I don't care.
Oh, my.
I didn't care who they were. I just wanted us to kick their ass, and we weren't, you know?
Well, apparently they spent a lot of time in the hot springs because they were hot.
Well, here's the funny thing, though. They didn't have as many people as we did there because, obviously, it was an away game for them.
Yeah, that's a long way.
You know? And so, because I think we pretty much filled the stands, and they were like Section E. Mm-hmm. That was it. You know, there was nobody in F through the rest of the letters or on either side of them. We pretty much knocked out about 5 of their players. They had to be carried off, you know, where it was injuries.
Ouch.
Yeah. And this is while we were there. And they still kicked our ass, you know.
That's too bad.
And we got down to, like, the 5-yard line. And they're trying to run it in. I'm like, just lob it. Lob it in. That's all you got to
put it up there.
No, they wanted to run it in, and they stopped us at the fourth. And so I'm like going, oh, well, they still got to go all the way. And they couldn't do it. And it was a good game, but they made another touchdown. And so we left in the middle of the fourth. So it's like, okay, let's beat the traffic. You know? As if there's that much traffic in a football game.
Of course, you know, when you leave early like that, you take that chance that Something weird happens.
There is no way we would have made a comeback that.
What was the score?
It was like, what, was 6-28, I think, or whatever? We had our asses handed to us.
So three touchdowns and a field goal.
Four touchdowns.
4 minutes would be.
That would be a miracle. So, but I told Roman, I go, it's not about the game. It's not about watching the game. It's about the hang with your friends.
That's it.
And so he did. He found some people that he had classes with and stuff, whatever, and hung out with them. And
oh, cool.
Had a good time, whatever, you know. And so, yeah, he had a blast. So his first football game, it was wonderful. We had a good time. So, and then what was really neat, though, is that there's a friend of mine, a classmate that I went to high school with.
Mm-hmm.
She lives in Rossmore. And I couldn't remember if her son already graduated or not. I remember he played.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was talking to her while I'm at the game. And she said, no, he already graduated. But she goes, my daughter, though, is on ASB. And she should be there. So I was trying to find her after the game, but everything was already closed up and gone or whatever. Yeah. So we'll try to find her. And I told my son, I go, this is somebody you want to know.
Hey, next time there's a game, you're going to take me along.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I love high school football. It's just
oh,
fun.
My God. It took me back to my days, you know, and I was texting my friend the same thing. And she goes, oh, they're so much fun. I go, dude, I go, it's reminding me of our time, you know, mm-hmm. of our games. Mm-hmm. And we didn't care if we were losing. We were cheering, and they had a big-ass beach ball. I mean, it was like, I don't know, like a 6 foot by, you know.
Oh, yeah, those really big ones. They're
huge.
Cool. Yeah.
Huge.
It's so big.
Just knocking it everywhere. The band was there. Didn't play twice, I think. You know, I'm like, what the fuck
is that? So they had the halftime marching band?
No, they didn't even go out on the field or anything.
Really?
I was surprised. The cheerleaders went out in the field. They did their little flips or whatever for about 5 minutes.
And the other team didn't bring a band with them?
Nope. Mm-mm. No.
How bizarre.
So, yeah, and it was really funny because, like I said, the band was there, but they hardly played. Most of the time, the cheerleaders had, like, a background
music. They were probably all tired from band camp.
Probably. I don't know what the hell. I'm like, come on, let's go. You know? What happened to, like, we got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit.
They
How about you?
Playing,
you know,
playing I mean, a little bit too much flute.
Something.
At band camp.
Something. You know, because I'm going, hey, I wonder if I could sneak in and play drums. You know, that's what I want to know. Yeah, so.
Or the piano and the marching band is my favorite one.
Because Lord knows you could put that in the back pocket. Yeah. But no, we had a good time, though. We had a great time.
That's great. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
So it was
that's
fun. Cool. So how was your week, bud?
Well, I've been preparing for Sunday's fantasy football draft.
Ooh.
Sunday's going to be a big day. I've been watching on YouTube all of the so-called experts make predictions about who they think is good or bad and everything, you know. When it comes down to it, you kind of listen to them all and you have to filter it through your own feelings for the players and who you like and don't like. And so I'm pretty prepared. I am. Everybody kind of makes fun of me when I show up for the draft because I have a bunch of stuff that's written out in like a little book. And I've got pages of lists of the different players and stuff. And, you know, they've all got their computer with their list of all the players and they can cross off or a printed list, which remind me I have to print something like that after the show tonight.
Okay.
But I do a lot of research and I've only been in the this league for 4 years and the last 2 years I've finished third and then second.
So you were doing pretty good then.
So I do pretty good and that's not necessarily with the best players, but I do a lot of research, kind of like Moneyball.
Yeah.
Where you sit there and you go, okay, what does this player do? Who are they playing this week? And what's going to be the advantage or disadvantage for each of the players? And I go through all that every week with everybody. And it seems to pay off. I mean, I almost won it, not this last time, the time before when I
That's
finished
right,
third.
You did, yeah.
I was in first place the last 2 weeks, and everybody's like, what the hell's going on? And then I got the bye week, and then the semifinals, my team took a dump. I only scored like 69 points, and usually you score between 140 and 150 to win each
week.
Yeah,
they take a huge dump.
So, oh, it was horrible. So then ended up in the third place game, and I won that easily, but I was so disappointed. So, but then this last time, I was doing pretty good, and got to the playoffs, and I kind of did really good and ended up just barely losing the championship games for. Wow. So I was second place, and so it'll be interesting.
I definitely think so. And
I like it. It's fun. It makes you look at the sport differently. Mm-hmm. You know, some of these guys, I think their problem that they don't do better is because they've got, I don't know, it's an attitude about their favorite team or their favorite players.
Right.
And they have trouble breaking out of that to go who's the best player for them in a situation. Mm-hmm. And they just go with the people that they're familiar with and who are popular in their mind. And they don't do quite as well. And I think that's where I kind of excel, is like, I don't care. I don't have a favorite team. Most of the time players are like, I look at the numbers and I try to play the best people each week according to what my research is, instead of just, I'll just pick these guys for this week. So
see, that's what I would do, because that's just too much work for me. It's like, I pick that one. You know, I'll pick the big black guy and the big white guy. And the guys with no necks, I'll pick them.
Number 69 guy. I always play him.
Pretty good. And number 88, because that was the year I graduated. So, you know, 88, you go in. And I don't care how big or small you are, but he's normally the kicker, so that's okay. Well, cool, man. Well, you know, we got some sad news, unfortunately, to talk about. And, of course, if this theme sounds a little bit familiar to you, that's because, it was very popular.
It was. It was a spinoff from...
No, not this one.
Oh, which one?
This is the original.
Oh, this...
This is from the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Yeah, that's Mary Tyler Moore Show.
So, and, of course, from the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and, of course, her own, Valerie Harper. Just passed away at 80 years old after battling with cancer. So, tough thing, you know. Wonderful. And she did, I think, huge things in the 70s and brought a lot of people out and brought a lot of attention in the 70s. And unfortunately, she passed away. This was... she played the character Rhoda, who was Mary's best friend, you know, single best friend and everything. Yeah. And she won an Emmy also on Mary Tyler Moore.
An Emmy.
They did a spinoff with that, which became Rhoda. And, of course, she went away for a few years and then came back in the 80s and did Valerie.
Well, my favorite Valerie Harper is actually a movie that not a lot of people have seen that is hysterical. It's called Blame It on Rio.
Oh, yeah.
With Michael Caine. And, oh, my goodness. It is so funny.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's kind of sad. She's been battling with a number of health issues, basically, the past few years, including lipomegaloblastoma, when lung cancer and brain cancer. Apparently, the family had set up a GoFundMe page titled the Valerie Harper Cancer Support Fund to assist her with the daily bills, basically. The medical costs got so high and everything. So they said within the first week of the campaign, they were able to raise like $40,000 for her, which was great. It was just really tough. And she was born in Rockland Country, New York, in the town of Suffern. And her parents, her mom was a nurse. Her dad was a lighting salesman who traveled the country and everything. And then she got into taking ballet and attended Manhattan School of Young Professionals. And that was kind of like the start for her there. And it just kind of grew. And then she finally got to be on Mary Tyler Moore, basically. So... and then, you know, the rest is pretty much history. So we're going to miss her deeply. So what else we got?
It's Europe.
Yeah, you know, and of course, you know, Steve and I, we like to do different things. And
yes, we do.
And you know, and I know it drives Zach wild.
I know, and people usually call the police on us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you know, it is South Carolina Day.
That's right, y'all.
You know, so I got some South Carolina facts for you.
Do you now?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, they played this song last night at the football game.
Really?
All the teenagers knew what to do.
All the words, yeah.
You know,
do.
And they did it. It was so funny. It was awesome.
That's
and
amazing.
Another parent and I, they're looking, they're going, how do they know how to do that? And I just looked at that mom and go, because we did our job as parents to teach them that song. That's why. You know. So here we go. South Carolina facts here. 297 feet tall, St. Matthew's Lutheran Church is the tallest structure in the city of Charleston. And at one point, it was also the tallest structure in the state.
Wow.
At 297 feet. We couldn't make 300.
That's pretty tall.
Yeah.
There's probably some statute in the city. You can't have a thing 300 feet or more.
Yeah. Now, there's a town in South Carolina named Due West.
Due what?
West.
Due West.
Yep. And you can probably guess where. Oh, here we go.
Good times never seem so good.
So good. So good. So good. So, yeah, Due West, you can probably guess where it's geographically located at. There's also real towns called Quarantine, Wide Awake, and my favorite, Climax.
Oh, so, and their sister city is in Pennsylvania. Intercourse.
Yeah. Now, tattooing was illegal in South Carolina until 2004. To get inked legally, residents had to drive out of state to nearby Georgia. Lord knows they got some great tattoo people there. Or North Carolina. In the decade, the law was changed to more, and then once it was changed, more than 100 parlors have been established across the state. South Carolina produces more peaches than anywhere in the country except California and Georgia.
I was going to say Georgia is like, so they're number three in the peaches.
Ba, ba, ba.
Never seemed so good.
So good. So good. So good. Okay. Now, here's something really interesting because ba, ba, ba. We were late on that one. Now, here's, I mean, California is known for earthquakes.
Yes.
The worst earthquake recorded in South Carolina occurred on August 31st, 1886, believed to have been a 7.6 on the Richter scale, and unfortunately it killed more than 100 people and leveled much of Charleston.
Ba, ba, ba.
So good! So good! So good! Yeah, so it ba, ba, ba. I'm trying to read and run the board at the same time. I love this. Damage was done total estimated of $5.5 million. It's around $136 million today.
And what year was that? 18?
86.
86.
Yeah.
That was probably before building codes and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you think? Now, fortune tellers aren't allowed to just go around telling fortunes just willy-nilly in South Carolina.
Oh.
They're actually required to obtain a special permit from the state.
Really? Do they have to take a test?
Apparently, or something. Now, there is here's something really unique, though, which I thought would be in Arizona, but there's a UFO welcome center in Bowman. It was built by a local man, Jody Pendarvis, and he welcomes aliens whenever they finally, he wants to welcome the aliens whenever they finally decide to land.
So, out there, if you're listening, aliens, you need to go to, what's the name of town? Bowman, South Carolina. That's the welcoming center. So, concentrate your efforts over there and leave everybody else alone. We don't know what to do.
Now, when you go fishing.
Yes.
Do you ever use your yo-yo?
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever use dynamite?
I've never used dynamite.
But you use your yo-yo.
Well, actually, I did catch a trout in the High Sierras at Ray Lakes using string, a safety pin, and some wadded up aluminum foil.
Well, that's good because you can still use that in South Carolina, but you cannot. It is illegal.
Uh-oh.
You will be thrown in the kuhos or whatever they call it over
and
there.
And given a tattoo.
Yeah.
it says no regerts.
Yeah, because it is illegal to fish with a yo-yo or dynamite in the state.
Well, you could lose a perfectly good yo-yo.
That's true, because if you don't tie it on that finger, you're fucked.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Now, of course, everybody knows this because, you know, we're all trying to save electricity, you know, and everything. So it is against the law to buy or sell an electric eel in South Carolina.
What?
It is against the law to buy or sell an electric eel in South Carolina.
So I guess if you want an electric eel, you have to go out and catch it yourself.
Ba, 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 ba. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it... yeah. So good!
So good!
A little late on that one, huh?
Okay. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, and let's see. What else is the last one here? Oh, here we go. The largest living cat, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, is an adult male liger.
Oh, yeah.
It's half lion, half tiger, and so vicious.
He's huge.
His name is Hercules. Hercules. He lives at the Myrtle Beach Safari Wildlife Reserve. The cat weighs over 900 pounds.
That's a big cat.
That's a big pussy. And is 12 feet tall when standing on his hind legs and eats about 100 pounds of meat each day.
Boy, I wouldn't want to get too close to that thing.
You know what? I wouldn't mind taking 100 pounds off of me right now, though. I could use that.
Can you pick and choose like that with a liger?
I hope so.
You know, can you tell, okay, this is where you're going to,
just a little bit
not
off,
here.
Just a little bit off the ass. That's all, you know, because got a bubble butt, you know, and just a little bit off. So
the thought came to me.
Ooh, did it hurt?
Is there like a black market for electric eels in
apparently
South
so, because it is illegal. Black and white, man.
You know, you're walking down the street, some guy leans out of the alley. Hey, buddy, come here. Look what I got for you. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, you like electric eels? I got something for you.
Yeah,
it's exactly. About 3 feet long. Huh? What do you think?
So,
oh, wait, that's not the eel.
So there you go. So there's some South Carolina facts for you for Carolina Day.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Actually.
I told you.
Ba, ba, ba.
There you go. So now, of course, too, you know, everybody's trying to go on dates. We're all trying to
almost
find.
Everybody.
Yeah. It gets frustrating out there.
Yeah.
You know.
And expensive.
That too. So, have you ever been set up on a blind date?
Yes.
How did it go?
Horrible.
Really?
Yes.
What happened?
It was fun and everything. And I don't know. Just, there are people that you kind of relate to.
Wrong song. Never mind.
And you know, so it's kind of, it was like that. We kind of related to each other. I was like a teenager when this happened.
Oh.
And so after we had dinner, and we went to the beach, and then we drove home, and she and I were in the back seat and started making out, and then...
Under the sweater, over the bra?
No, we didn't go that far. We didn't go anywhere. Apparently she.
Well, no wonder you were in the back seat.
She decided after a while she didn't want to kiss anymore, and yeah, it was just like we weren't.
Didn't have any breath mints on you then, huh?
No. Oh my god. That's all in the timing.
We're drinking beer now. Okay.
Could we?
It's downstairs.
So yeah, it didn't turn out. We never saw her again.
Most of mine have been pretty good. Overall, I've had very few bad dates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of them pretty good. And of course, last one was with Karen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, saw how that ended up. Got a kid out of it, so.
Yes, she did.
You know, flung leg. There we go. But they're saying now, you know, that the best way to go out and find somebody to date, you know, if you want to date, is basically have your friends set you up. It is still better than using the apps.
That's true.
You know.
Because when you show them your abs, they better look good.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, they're saying here's the, ladies and gentlemen, getting set up is good, not embarrassing or cringeworthy, but actually very valuable and a way to meet a person to connect with them. In fact, it's a hell of a lot better than meeting someone online. Yet for some reason, it gets a really bad rap. Sure, you don't have the comfort sitting at home texting them, you know, your PJs before you meet them, but you do get a guaranteed first date, which is true.
Yeah, we know all know how those first dates go, usually.
It depends on what you do and where you're going.
Yeah.
I hate taking a date to a movie.
Yeah, it's kind of odd. It's an awkward situation because...
You're not talking.
Yeah, you don't talk to you. You're just sitting there in the dark together, and it's like, what are they thinking? What am I thinking?
Yeah.
You're not paying attention to the movie.
And if you go to a scary movie together, you can't jump in her lap because then she thinks you're a pussy.
That's right.
You know, so that's just no good.
Yeah,
you know, I always say go bowling, go miniature golfing. You know, that's always more fun.
Something where you can make fun of each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, same thing, too. Don't go to concerts, you know, unless you're really a big fan, because, again, you're not going to talk to each other or anything like that.
Okay. I just Googled blind dates.
Yeah.
The first thing that comes up is blind dates. Meet singles in Stanton.
That's the next city over.
Yeah. What's so big about blind dates in Stanton? That's the number one thing that comes up in Google.
Well, there's about 3 strip joints in Stanton alone, as it is.
Yes, there is.
And about 12 massage parlors.
I know the name of one of them, actually.
Yeah.
But
here's some of the reason why they're saying that you should, that getting set up by friends is better. You have someone in common to talk about also, how you met. And
boy, aren't they a jerk? Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you both hate them, you know, yeah. Hey. And not only that, though, but you know that they're not the person that you're going to go out with is probably not really a creep, because the person that sets you up isn't going to do that to you.
Is a friend.
Yeah, exactly. You
well,
know.
I got set up one other time. I've only had 2 blind dates. And yet this time I was in like my 30s, late 30s and mm-hmm. stuff. And so was the girl. And we met at a restaurant just over here by Disneyland on Ball Road. Mm-hmm. It was a really nice restaurant at the time. And she was basically like, she was embarrassed because when I was that age, I looked really young. Mm-hmm. And she was a normal, like, mid-30s, early 40s.
She looked her age, look. In other
she
words.
Looked her age. And she was embarrassed because she felt like I made her look like my mother, and she kind of acted like it too. And it was horrible. And we figured this out like even before we had to wait for to get called to our table for dinner.
Wow.
So it was a long, awkward situation. And
so, Mom, what are you having for dinner?
That was the only other time.
Yeah. So I probably would have played off of that. I would have, because to me that's funny. You're going to make the other person laugh.
Well, it was
and everything.
Funny, yeah. But no, she was like, oh,
was
God.
She pissed?
Yeah, she was pissed off because she didn't like feeling like
old.
She was with like a really young guy for some reason. I don't know. I was the same age as her.
Yeah.
But
it's like,
yeah.
Bitch, look at, hey, we can role play. You're the cougar. Yeah. I'm the young stud. Come
that's
on,
right.
Let's go.
Come on.
You know, she's got.
You're the old nun. I'm the young choir boy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's not a sin. It's not a sin. You know, yeah, exactly. You know, so. But not only that, though, but it doesn't have to be one-on-one when you go out with friends.
Yeah.
Like the first date, that blind date that Karen and I went out on, it was we went with her friend who set us up and a guy that she was dating at the time. So it was a double date. And the four of us went out. We had dinner. Then we went miniature golfing. Then we went karaokeing afterwards. So, I mean, we did like 4 or 5 dates in one, and we had a blast. Karen felt comfortable.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, and then Karen and I were comfortable. Or she
Let's
was,
do that.
She was go ahead.
Yeah.
She was comfortable.
I'll be back.
Comfortable with me and everything. And so then after that, we went to the beach, and then we went back to her mom and dad's house and talked and stuff, and that too. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it was a cool date. It was a really cool date.
All right.
So, and also they're saying it doesn't have to be weird, but that's totally different for you, though. Because everything you do is weird.
That's right.
Yeah. So
I am nothing if not weird.
Yeah. So it is easier to get set up with friends. And I think that is the best way, you know, to find somebody to date. Well, we have a big announcement to make now.
Yes, we do. Finally.
Finally. So here's the scoop, guys. As you know, we've had 2 co-hosts on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Victoria Schneider and Phoebe Lim, who is mm-hmm. now a Phoebe Kim. And both great hosts.
That's because she only had to
change,
get married.
One letter.
Yeah, she was lucky. Both great hosts. Love them both.
They were awesome.
V and I, we see each other, talk to each other almost weekly on Facebook and stuff and so forth. Phoebe haven't talked too much because, you know, she's married. She's doing newlywed thing. So
her
she's
husband
busy.
And things she does, yeah.
Yeah, she's busy. Working for Warner Brothers and stuff. And we thought we had a couple of people that we really, really liked. And unfortunately, they couldn't join us because of distance and other opportunities. And that was fine. We thought we found somebody who was a good fit. Didn't work out. No problem. So now we're on a quest.
Yes, we are.
To
we
find
are
somebody
determined
to find people to fit this show properly. And the thing that we're going to do differently this time is we want you, the listeners, to help us decide. It's going to be up to you guys to help us decide who should the next co-host be. So we're on the quest for the co-host with the mo-host.
Yay! How fun.
How fun. Yeah, I should probably throw that in. Yeah. There you go. To help us find the next co-host. Now, we're actually going to be filling two positions, our actual co-host position and the Gal About Town position.
Which is a semi-co-host.
Right. And if you guys listen to Mark in the Morning, basically, it's kind of like what Mark's daughter, Katie, did. You know, she was the chick on the street, basically. It's kind of that position there.
Standing in the corner going, hey, you want to buy this electric eel?
It's half price. So yeah, so that's what we're going to be doing. So in again, we want all of our listeners to get involved with this. So we'll be bringing in the people who want to audition for this. Mm-hmm. It's going to be about a 2-month process. So everybody's going to be in the co-host position 1 week, you know, and it's going to be there's 8 ladies that have applied for it and who've gotten to this level, and so the first 4 weeks. One's going to be in the co-host position. The other one's going to be in the Gal About Town position. Mm-hmm. And then round two is we flip it and mix them up also. And so if they were in the Gal About Town, they'll now be in the co-host and vice versa. So that's what we're going to be doing
That's a good way to look at people is when they get mixed up.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, though, is that every week we want you, the listeners, to vote on who you feel was better that week.
Yes.
And we're going to take that into consideration at the end of the whole thing.
I think the big thing is the difference between what we've done in the past and this now is we're going to actually expose these ladies to things we do multiple times so we can see exactly how they do work out.
Yeah, exactly. And kind of throw them baptism of fire.
Yeah,
basically, and see who
so
can,
we don't get any surprises.
Right, see who can step up and actually do the job, you know, and have fun with us and the silly things that we do in the Mark and Brian tradition, basically. And so we're gonna have fun with this. It's gonna be about 2 weeks long, or 2 weeks long, two months long rather. Freudian slip. 2 months long, but again, we want you guys to be involved and help and vote and help us decide. So. That's going to be the whole thing. So today we have one of the ladies who has auditioned, who's made it through the rigorous talks and everything.
Pre-screening.
The pre-screening of everything. And so we were going to have all the girls come in on the 7th and the 14th and split into two groups. But unfortunately, she's going to Europe.
Yeah.
So
right away, someone has to change the format because they can't
good
make
God,
it.
You know, make it hard on us, you know. So we asked her to come in today, so okay, it doesn't mean that she gets extra privileges or anything like that.
Minus 1 point right there.
So we want to introduce to you Tiffany Kanoa.
Hello. Okay, is that better?
There you go.
Yeah.
And so she is one of the lovely ladies, one of the 8 lovely ladies who's going to come in and duke it out.
Yes, the pressure is on.
With the other 7 and see what's going to happen here and everything. So, Tiffany, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, hello. My name is Tiffany and I'm really good at opera, too, if you haven't noticed.
We can have your weekly dose opera.
Yeah, there you go.
Please, no.
Il Baliachi.
You have no more listeners after I do that. I was born on Maui, actually, so it was funny that you said. I know, Maui Wowie, baby. And then I...
Steve has that on a regular basis.
Woohoo!
I got some edibles.
What can you say?
Yeah.
Love the gummies.
Oh, yeah.
The gummies, no. And then I moved to San Diego for like 9 years, and it was crazy just... moving there, and I lived in this place called Rancho Santa Fe, and it was really like a high class neighborhood. And so we had a house that was like 1.5 mil, but in our neighborhood we have houses that were like $10 to $15 million.
Oh,
each.
So you were in poverty then?
Yeah, yeah. They would literally call our part of the neighborhood the projects.
Because wow.
It was, and so it made me like embarrassed when I would go to school. Because I was like, oh my gosh, like my house isn't, I don't have a big backyard. Like we had like a 5-bedroom living room, music room, dining room. And yet like when I would go to their houses, they're like huge. And so it'd
15,
make me,
20 rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge backyard, pool, tennis court.
Oh, you
everything.
Were the poor people on the
I was
block
the
then.
Poor people.
Yeah. She said, she was in the projects.
Yeah. And it was so crazy living in that and just kind of feeling like insecure, like, oh my gosh, I'm not rich enough, I'm
at the lowest of the 1%.
I know, right? So yeah.
And what did your dad do?
He's in timeshare. So a lot of people think he was in the military because we moved from Hawaii to San Diego and then back to Oahu, but yeah, he's in timeshare. And he
what does he do
in
timeshare?
He's the VP for sales and marketing.
Oh, okay.
So he loves it. He's like an entertainer like I am. So it's fun. And my parents are always encouraging me, like, you need to get your real estate license to do timeshare. So we'll see how that goes.
Cool. So what happened after San Diego?
We moved back to Oahu.
Uh-huh.
And I finished high school there.
Okay.
And so, and then I stayed in Hawaii for about a semester, and I went to UH Manoa for college. And you know, it's just really, there's so many distractions there because, you know, all you want to do is hang out,
Manila?
Cruise with your friends. Manila?
Is that what you said? Manila?
No.
Oh, UH Manoa.
Manoa.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
UH Manila folder, yes.
Why did you go all the way to Manila to go to college?
Because it's special, Steve.
Yes, I guess so. Kind of like going to Scotland.
Yeah, but and then I moved out to LA, and I was telling Sean about it, you know. It's always like you can either really get away from the distractions here or really get into
the
a lot. Yeah, oh, exactly. Yeah. So it could have been a lot better or a lot worse, but it's going good so far.
So now Your background is definitely in acting.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that. What have you done and so forth?
Oh, gosh. I started acting when I was in, like, in elementary school. I tried out for plays. I didn't really get anything. And then in eighth grade, I finally got the lead role in Schoolhouse Rock Live Junior, baby.
I love the fact. I love that she knows Schoolhouse Rock.
Right?
What was your favorite song to perform?
Well, I wasn't in this one, but it was Interplanet Janet. Interplanet Janet, she's a galaxy girl. Solar system. Oh, we're
the future world. Oh, yeah. I know him. I know him.
Yeah.
You remember it well, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I do. Three is my favorite one, though. Three is a magic number.
It's a magic number.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
that's
love
a
that
great song.
Song.
I know.
It's such
wish
a cool song.
I could have done a solo for that one, but.
Yeah, and that's one thing I liked about you. I'm like, oh, my God, you know Schoolhouse.
I know, right?
She's in.
I know.
She's in.
Still to this day, I like. Have it in my head.
Now you've done so many other things too.
Yeah,
you've done like a clowning workshop.
Yes,
a contemporary ballet.
Yeah,
in dance,
mm-hmm.
Improvisation.
Mm-hmm.
You've done poetry.
Yes,
I like this too. You've done combat, stage combat.
Stage combat.
What did you learn doing that?
We actually had to do it for class because my school was like an arts school.
Mm-hmm.
So he brought in one of our theater teachers brought in an actual stage combat guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, for ours, like we didn't learn how to like, we learned how to like hit someone and stuff like that and do punches.
Mm-hmm.
And then for my senior year, we had to learn how to do sword fighting because
oh, cool.
It was a part of our play that
now,
we were doing.
Was it, what type of sword fighting was it? Was it like broadsword or was it more of a fencing style?
I think it was more like broadsword.
Broadsword,
because
two-handed.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Broadsword, yeah.
And like ducking, and it was really cool to to experience that, because it's also really useful for film and stuff like that if they need it, if they need be. So it was just good to know, you know. So
what else would you like us to know about you? Something interesting, something that you haven't told anybody else before or anything, or what's something that you'd like to reveal?
I have very stinky feet.
Really?
But it's only if I like take off my shoes.
Yeah, that's
well, you know, I've got my shoes off.
I wonder if she knows that happens with everybody.
No, no.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't have stinky feet. But, you know, maybe we could play that up in a skit or something.
Yeah.
We should.
I got to write that down. Stinky feet.
Yeah, well, you know.
That's inspirational.
The more you know.
my buddy and I, Mike and I, we were roommates. We had another roommate, Andy, and his feet were so bad, you'd walk in the house and go.
Yeah.
It would choke a magnet. Basically.
Horrible. Yeah. We had to get him to clean his room and his clothes and his feet and stuff.
Yeah, in eighth grade, I was in my science class, and I would just wash my feet in class.
Wow.
I was that girl. I don't even know if anyone
asked
that girl.
Were you the awkward one growing up? Or?
I was pretty awkward, honestly.
Really?
I would try to like impress people and stuff like that. Kind of.
Hey,
like,
look at me.
Yeah, look at me.
I can get my legs.
So when
do
you think that's
going to
pass?
I don't know.
Sometime. Well,
hopefully soon.
Maybe during this show. You never know.
No,
never
know. I'd make my little sister take pictures of me and then pretend that it was like an actual modeling thing.
What made you decide to audition for taking this role on and being on a podcast?
I love talking and I love conversing with people. And I think it's interesting because we're all like in different stages in our life, you know? So like having different perspectives is really important. And, you know, I'm not afraid to share my voice if I have an opinion on something. And I think you guys clearly aren't either, which is great, you know, because a lot of people, you know, they're censored. They don't want to share like everything. They're kind of like, they say things to like a certain extent and then they don't go past that. And I think you guys aren't afraid to go past that, which is
not at all,
you know, admirable. And you can't really find that often. So,
you're going to have the opportunity then, when this whole thing is all over with, to speak into a microphone on a weekly basis. What are you hoping to do with that opportunity?
I don't know. I would love it though. My, I really wanted to get into journalism or broadcasting. I think it'd be fun being like, hi, I'm Tiffany and we're on the scene right now, you know, just that type of stuff, you know, it's cool. And, you know, just talking to other people, making other people laugh, making it actually interesting to like want to listen to something that's actually going on about town. And people are like, oh, well, I want to go to that this weekend or something like that, you know, exciting people, making people feel something. So.
Cool. Well, we're going to do something that we're going to do with everybody.
Okay.
It's actually quite fun.
Okay.
We call it the Island Game.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, your type of music, of course.
I feel like this is so biased.
Of course, for her, this type of music is going, sir, would you like more poi with that?
We call it Hawaiian music. She just calls it music.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was so funny. I was making her laugh because we were talking on the phone, and I'm going, hey, wow.
He literally sounds like half the people on Island.
Yeah.
And her
goes, you sound like my uncle.
Yeah. When I do it, I'm like, I don't even know how to do it, bro.
You sound almost Israeli there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what my family says.
It's like, why you sound so Jewish? You're not Jewish. You're Hawaiian. Like, why you make that funny noise when you talk?
Sorry, bro.
Yeah, you know. Hey, brah.
Aloha, puka.
Hey, huka, waka. Come on. Hey, come on, Wanalea. Come on, hey, bro. Yeah. All right. So here we go. You're on a deserted island.
Okay.
You're retired.
Okay.
We're at the end of your life. Oh, my God, already.
Yeah,
okay.
I know, right?
Deserted island, and you can only take one candy bar with you. What would it be?
Snickers.
That's like the number one answer.
Is it really?
It really satisfies.
Snickers, or there's one other peanut butter cup.
Peanut butter cup.
Oh, Reese's.
Hey, peanut butter cup.
Hey, peanut butter
cup.
Peanut butter.
You want us to put some peanut butter cup on your Spam and eggs?
No! Yeah. Okay, you could take one album with you. What would it be, Tiffany?
Oh, gosh.
Hopefully not Tiffany.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with her. You know, because I think we're alone now.
Oh, God.
I don't know. I would do like Daniel Caesar. Do you know who that is?
No.
Yeah, he's a good artist.
Good artist.
I didn't realize like I like low, like calm, chill music, and I didn't know that's like classified as alternative in a way.
Oh, okay.
So I guess I like alternative type of stuff.
Okay. You could take one movie.
He's from
you.
Canada, eh?
Hey, why you talk like that, Paula? Hey, come on. We could take one movie with you. What would it be?
I don't think that's the name of a movie.
Oh, really?
Oh,
I thought it was.
Shoot.
I would take Shrek with me.
Shrek?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Shrek.
I love Shrek.
I love Shrek.
The original one, or?
Yeah. But I like Shrek 2 also. When he turns into the man.
I like when they lower Pinocchio down in there.
Yes.
Say something outrageous, like you're wearing women's underwear.
I'm wearing women's underpants.
Nothing. He really is. No, I'm not. There goes his nose.
I forgot about that part.
That's my favorite scene in all of them.
The first two are really good.
Yeah.
They really are. After that, it's kind of like,
I know.
I can take it or leave it, you know.
Isn't there still four of them?
Yeah,
too?
There's four.
Yeah.
Or eight of them, something like that.
Yeah, right? They just keep going.
We count all the specials and everything.
I know, right?
Yeah, but the fruit, I'm a donkey on a run. Yeah. Oh, Shrek. Yeah.
Donkey.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm terrible at that.
All right, so what type of food would you take?
Oh, my gosh. Hawaiian food. Dude, Hawaiian food is so good. I got to give you guys some. Like chicken long rice, lomi salmon, poi, kalua pig. Oh, my gosh.
Kalua pig.
Grind.
I had some last night.
Really?
Yeah, kalua pork, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So good. Yeah.
With actual kalua on it.
What?
Yeah, I poured kalua on it. Yeah, did you get
makes it even
pork
better.
And kalua? Kalua pork. There you go.
Boy, was that pig pissed.
Yeah. He was. Had
got
to chase
his eye.
Yeah, had to chase it. Felt like chasing a greasy pig, but a little bit different. So, if you could take one person for conversation's sake, and it could be anybody, dead or alive, can't be a significant other or anything like that, who would you take?
Can't be a significant other, but it can be like a family member?
It could be a family member. It could be a famous person. And again, dead or alive, and if they were dead, they would be alive in their prime.
Oh, gosh. I feel like I would take, like, I would say Adam Sandler, but I feel like he would frustrate me. Like, too many jokes.
Is it the Adam Sandler or the 51st Dates Adam Sandler?
Yeah. Gosh, I don't even know. I would probably take my little sister. Because, like, we didn't really get along that well,
but now
we get along so well. And so
she's past puberty?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
well,
why.
Well, she's, like, in the process, but past like the whole hormones part.
Tweener or
she's 15.
Oh, she's 15, so she's there.
Yeah,
she's there. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So you could both be bitchy once a month.
Yeah, know, exactly.
Okay.
I feel like we would annoy each other if we were on a deserted island. But hey, isn't Oahu a deserted island?
Depends.
There you go.
Yeah, depends where you go on the island.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. And if you could take one person for sexual gratification, again, can be your significant other, who would it be? Dead or alive?
And if you see your sister, you're in.
You're in, baby. Probably like Channing Tatum.
That's a good one.
He's a beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And he seems really sweet and down to earth.
I heard he's down to earth, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like a win-win.
Yeah. I go Channing Tatum too.
Yeah, right.
He's reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I would love to look in his eyes and give it to me, big boy.
Right.
Yeah.
And then
I can see that.
Some like Magic Mike stuff.
Yeah. I got a man crush on Channing. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right?
That's a good choice.
Just don't forget to reach around.
Yeah. Oh no. I definitely reach around. Just. Yeah. And you're obviously younger because you're in your
20s. Yes, I am.
But at this point in your life, what stage would you want to go back to and redo in your life?
When I was a junior in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I screwed up a lot.
Made a few mistakes.
A lot of mistakes. Okay. And, you know, for a point in time, I ruined the relationship with my family and some close friends of mine. And, like, my grades were shit then. Mm-hmm. It was terrible. And, like, that's why I went to UH Manoa for a semester, because I applied to, like, USC and UCLA and Harvard and Yale, expecting that I would get in with, like, a 3.6 GPA. I had like a 2.9 GPA my junior year.
Wow.
Because I really...
So you want to go back and redo it and correct it?
I would, because I think I could be able to like get into a school that I really wanted to and get like a good scholarship for it, you know?
Mm. Cool.
Wow. Yeah. Cool. Whoa, deep, bro.
it's okay. We like it deep, so...
Oh, God.
Dude!
Yeah, yeah. So, well, very cool. Very cool. Well, there you go. So those are the Eyelid questions there.
Thank you.
And so this is Tiffany. And I pronounced your last name correctly? Kanoa?
Kahokanoa.
Kanoa, right?
Kanoa, yeah.
Okay.
Kanoa.
Yep. Kanoa.
Kanoa, all right. Kanoa. And so that's Tiffany Kanoa. And so...
Where does that go back to, through Hawaii?
Well, you go through the...
Somebody had to come to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm Portuguese, so maybe...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I've got Portuguese way back.
Really?
Yeah, way back.
I didn't know Portuguese was from Portugal. Is that weird?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is weird.
That is weird.
Okay. Yeah. Oh,
that is,
okay, well.
That is very weird.
Hey, I'm Portuguese. Where's that from?
And just to let you know, Spanish comes from Spain.
No, come on now. Now you're screwing with us.
Yeah.
No. Mind blown.
Hey, bro, I never mess with you, man.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, bro.
The hablé español?
Oh, un poco.
Un poco?
Yeah.
Poco, si. Poco, or like just poquito, poco?
Un poco.
Poco. Oh, okay. Yeah. Wait, isn't that a movie? Oh, no, that's Coco. Never mind. It's something else.
Yo hablo español un poquito, pero no entiendo nada.
What did he say? Can you translate?
What is entiendo?
Entender, to understand.
Oh.
I don't understand anything.
I can read
it. I can speak it. A 6-year-old.
Mm-hmm, I know. If they speak slowly, too, then I can kind of understand.
Yeah. S-O-C-K-S. Oh, man,
so hard.
Yeah.
You can speak Spanish, too. Yeah. Well, cool. Well, Tiffany, I want to thank you for coming in and introducing yourself to the listening audience.
Thanks for having me.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be very interesting.
Yes.
And you're going to be going to Europe for the first time.
Yes, I'm so excited.
So
it's gonna be fun.
Enjoy it. Take it in. Now, where are you going to be going?
Florence and Rome and then Venice also and Paris.
You're going to have fun.
I'm going to have a lot of fun.
You're going to have a lot of fun.
We all are. So
yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it.
And how many of you in the family is going?
There's 5 of us.
Oh, okay. So nice little group there.
Yeah. I got 2 sisters. Well, two and a half. I have another sister.
Oh, she's a half sister?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, enjoy it.
Thank you.
Be safe over there,
yes,
of course.
Of course.
But take it all in and just enjoy it. Take as many pictures as you can.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, Tiffany, we're going to be excited to have you be a part of this whole experiment that we're going to be doing on finding a new co-host. So it's definitely going to be fun. So we can't wait to have you back in the room again.
Yes, I'm excited too.
It'll be fun. And, of course, be safe on that trip and enjoy it as well.
Will do.
So in the meantime, Steve and I are going to say...
It's that time already?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Can we just keep going and not stop for, like, days?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I wish we could.
You guys should do, like, a 24-hour.
God.
Do a marathon.
No, people don't want to listen to 24 hours. I don't want to listen to myself for 24 hours.
I don't think I can talk for 24 hours.
Oh, no, he can't. Well, no, because he'll be sleeping half the time, too.
Yeah, that's right.
So, but you know what I noticed last week, though, is we didn't do our sign-off last week. We just went, see you next week, and bye.
Bye.
And we forgot to do everything else. So this week we got to do that. So make sure that you follow the show's website, yourweeklydose.com. Our Facebook page is Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram, you can follow us at yourweeklydose1.
If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at silvalining69.
And if you want to follow me, Sean, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, I made it so simple for you guys because you're stupid, replaceable listeners, just like Mark says. And I made it at Sean Roberts HC. Follow me on any one of those. You'll find me there. And, that's pretty much it.
I just realized I never say my Facebook. I have a Facebook page.
You do?
It's just Steve Silva.
Oh, my God.
And that's it. Yeah, actor, writer, producer, all-around fun guy.
There you go. Simple as that. Now, whether it's the truth or not, we don't know, but, you know.
In my dreams.
Two and a half years, you guys have listened to him be my co-host. You can decide for yourself.
Who's him? Is he a relative of Liam?
Yes, exactly. So, but you know, guys, be careful out there because this weekend it is going to be hot in Southern California. Temperature's going to be kind of high.
Going to be.
Humidity and everything.
Oh, yeah. There's like almost 90% humidity here.
Yeah. So be careful out there with it. But go out and have fun. Have a wonderful Labor Day weekend. Crank up the barbecues. We know we will, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, I can come over after my draft. Exactly.
Yeah, and enjoy. But just go out. Be careful. Make sure you're hydrated. Also, it's very important while the temperatures go up. So, so until next time, guys. Be good to each other.
Goodbye, world.
Listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.